So I want to share with you a couple of ideas relating to the Haggadah, to the Seder, some minhagim, a little halacha, a little Jewish, a little machshava. I want to be mashed up something that I forgot to tell you yesterday. Yesterday we spoke at great length about the Ka'ara, the significance of the Ka'ara. One thing I left out, which I found very interesting, is there are six items on top of the Ka'ara. Right, there is the mat, there is the moror, the zeroya, the beitza, the chareses, the chazeres, the karpas, plus the three mats we discussed yesterday. There are a total of nine things: three matzos, six items, and the ka'ora is number 10, which brings them all together and represents malchus. I came across this in the Sefer Pardes Eliezer from Jikiv. Did I say that right?
Jikiv.
He has a lot of stuff from Jikiv in his Sefer. He says that the nine items begin with the letters Matz, Mem, Maror. That has the same first letters, Matz and Maror overlap because they both begin with the letter Mem. There's the Zeroya, Zayin. There's the Beitza. Then we have the Ches repeat itself twice. The Chareses and the Chazeres. And then we have the Karpas. So they're really 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 letters. Rashi Tevos. There are 9 items. 3 matzos. There's Moror, Zeroya, Beitza, Chareses, Chazeres, Karpas. From those 9 items, the Rashi Tevos are Mem, Zayin, Beis, Ches, Chof. Correct? I'm going to ignore the repetition. We're going to ignore the repetition of the Matz and the Moror and the Chareses and the Chazeres. That gives us 5 letters. What do those 5 letters spell? Mizbechacha. Your Mizbeach. Mizbechacha. And in the Haggadah, the part that we say in the Haggadah, V'asher Yagia Domam, May the blood reach, cure the wall of Mizbechacha, of your altar, of your Mizbeach. So, according to the Jikiv Rebbe, he's trying to suggest is that what we're doing by setting up a Ka'ara, we're setting up on the table a Mizbeach. It alludes to a very deep idea, a very deep concept. The Mizbech, we have the Mizbech Chanukah, which is all about the Mizbech. Oz Egmor B'Shir Mizmor Chanukas HaMizbech. In the Brach of Al HaMichya, we're Mevakesh V'al Mizbechacha V'al Hecholecha. Mizbech is something significant. We don't appreciate it. We always find that when there was a dedication in Tanakh, it was always accompanied by the building of a new Mizbech. Yeah?
But a shulchan is always considered a mizbeach.
Exactly.
You don't have to
so it fits. It fits in even better. So we explained yesterday. Why do we make the ka'ara? Because me'ikar hadin was supposed to be oikar of the shulchan. We discussed this. He's supposed to take the shulchan and take it away. As you're about to begin the Haggadah, you pick up the shulchan, you remove it. Today, no one's taking away your table because we don't sit by stalled stock tables. We sit by a large table. So the Ka'ara was invented hundreds of years ago as a miniature table upon which we put all of the items of the Seder, and before we begin the Seder, we are supposed to ideally pick up the Ka'ara and take it out. And that is the fulfillment of what it says in the Gemara, Oikrin Es HaShulchan. The Magen Avraham says it's very disturbing that we don't do this anymore. You don't see people taking up the Ka'ara and taking it out. You Megal on the Matzah, you see a point, you do this. But in the Iker Hadin, you're supposed to be Oikr the Shulchan, and the reason why the Ka'ara was invented to include all of the Pesach items was to be Oikar the Shulchan. But it fits exactly with what you're saying even better. What is the Shulchan? The Shulchan really is a Mizbeach. Zeha Shulchan Lafanai. It's a Mizbeach. When you eat, it's like you're bringing a carbon. So the Ka'ara is the miniature Shulchan, right? And what is the Ka'ara? The Ka'ara has Matzah and Maror. The Ka'ara has the Zeroya, has the Beitza, has the Chareses, the Chazeres, and has the Karpas. And the letters of the nine items of the Ka'ara spell Mizbechacha. It's your Mizbeach, Hashem. It's your Shulchan, it's your Mizbeach, and it's part of, and what is a Mizbeach? Mizbeach always, when you make a Mizbeach, it always represents renewal. Hanukkah was a renaissance. It was the renewal of Klal Yisrael, their spiritual renewal. And how was that renewal expressed? Oz Egmar Bashir Mizmar Chanukas HaMizbeach. There are other examples in Tanakh. You look, I don't remember all the details, but you look in Tanakh very carefully, you'll find that there are times when they renewed themselves, it was accompanied by the building of a new Mizbeach. It's a very common theme. A new Mizbeach is renewal. Pesach represents a Zman of renewal, like Hanukkah. And the Ka'orah is that Mizbeach which we create with all of these items, which all represent different facets of what the Mizbeach is all about. Okay, that's just an idea I want to mash them from yesterday. Let's go to a new idea. Just very, very short. I never heard of this before. Maybe you heard of this. There's a minute to have a special candle by the Seder called Manishtana Licht. Did anyone ever hear of this before? Manishtana Licht. It's brought down, he has a whole chapter on this. That there used to be a special large candle, Manishtana Licht. He has all these Yoni Kabbalah, what it's all about, but basically is to bring out, to remind us that it's the only holiday where the nighttime is like it's day. The whole Seder is conducted at night. Nighttime represents Golus, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to shine to bring out the Or in Golus, to bring the Geula within the darkness. So the special Ner that is made for the Seder, it's called Manishtana Licht, that the night shines like the day. So let's go to another idea. The Isha Amdala was saying, the minig is, another minig is, we pick up the kais of Shalyayin when we recite the words, the Isha Amdala was saying, Vulanu, Shalyacha, Vala, Malin, Lachalasenu, Ella, Shabachal, Dor, Vidor, Amdalin, Lachalasenu, the Akadashmach, Mat, Slain, the Yadam. Why do you pick up the kais of Shalyayin when you recite the Isha Amdala? So probably the most popular explanation is Yayin Esach. Chazal tell us that you're not allowed to do the Heta Shasa, learn the Chemia, learn the Heta Shasa, that you're not allowed to drink from the wine of a non Jew. Because of chasnus, because you may lead to intermarriage. We have this halakha when it comes to bread. You're not allowed to eat pas akum, and you're not allowed to drink yayin nesach. Besides the problem that the guy may have poured the wine l'shem or the zara, another reason given in Shulchan Aruch is because it may come and lead to intermarriage. If we have a sudas mishta with a guy, we come very close, we get a little drunk, we get a little bit too friendly, and it may come to intermarriage. So Chazal said, stay away from the goyim. It spoils this isolation. When you pick up the kushal yayin, the hiyish amda. It's because Chazal have enacted hakanas which keep us separate from the goyim. We do not drink their wine. We stay away from them. We are able to maintain our identity, and it was a protective measure against assimilation. The hiyish amda lavasein v'lanu. This is what brought about, enabled us to survive the greater theme of what Yai Nesach is all about. That's a very popular approach. I saw another very nice pshat. The Hisha Amda is, which kais is this? The Hisha Amda. It's the second kais. The first kais is Kiddush. The entire Haggadah is recited upon the second kais of the Hisha Amda. The third kais is benching, and the fourth kais is hallow. What are the four kaisos? They correspond to the four lashonos of geula: the otzesi, the itzalti, the goalti, the lakachti. From the four lashonos of geula, three of them focus on redemption. The otzesi, I'll take you out. That's redemption. Okay, the goalti, that's certainly redemption. The lakachti, I'll take you towards me. But the second expression, the itzalti, is not really an expression of redemption. It's Hashem will save us. Even in Golus, Hashem saves us. We are in Golus. If Rachman will say, we have a tsar in Golus, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects us. Which one of the four lashonos would you use to define the salvation of a miracle in Golus? You wouldn't say it's the itzesi, because we're still in Golus. You wouldn't say it's goalti. You wouldn't say it's velakachti. If you want to choose the one that most precisely defines a salvation in Golus, it's vihitzalti. Time and time again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves us from our enemies. So when we pick up all the four cups, we don't pick them up, because they have not, they were one time events. There was a Yitzesi, there was the Goalti, there's Velokachti, but what is something which continues with us in every single generation, b'chol dor v'dor? It's the second cup. When you're picking up the second cup, v'hi sha'amda. V'hi is not just going on, oh, I'm picking up yayin. I'm picking up the yayin of the second cup. The v'hi is in me. This cup I'm picking up. Contrast the cup number 1, 3, and 4. Because 1, 3, and 4 are cups that happen once. It happened once, it'll happen again when Mashiach comes. But it's not something which continues over and over again. But the cup number 2 is the cup of the Yitzalti. Every single generation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'hi Sha'amda La V'Seinu V'Lanu, Shebechol Dor V'Dor Amdu L'Enu Chazayin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Matzileinu Miyadam. Hashem saves us. So this is why we bedavka pick up the cup. The point is, we're picking up, according to the first interpretation I told you, I'm telling you that he is the prohibition. The he means the prohibition of drinking Yayin Nesach. In this interpretation, the he means this cup number 2, which corresponds to the he tzalti. It's something which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for us in every single generation. Okay, let's go to another idea. And you take up this is Rosh HaProchim. I leave this to you to develop. I wasn't going to say this today because I don't have a good interpretation. But so in my davening, there's something that was so bizarre. I figured that it must be a message. I should pay more attention to what I learned yesterday. I was preparing yesterday, and I came across this thing that you remove wine from the cup 16 times. When you recite the Ten Makos, Dam Sadeh Kinim, you remove a drop of wine. When you say Dam Va'esh V'Simros Oshan, when you say those three words, Dam, what were the three words? I'm confused. That Sachadash Biachav and Dam Va'esh V'Simros Oshan. When you say those three words, you also remove a drop of wine. So it's the Ten Makos. That Sach Adash Biachav, the Simonim, is another 3, plus Dam Va'esh V'Simros Oshan is another 3, for a grand total of 16. What is the significance of 16? I have no idea. Okay, there are Kabbalistic reasons. I have a whole book over here. You want to figure this out? It's way back. I have pages and pages. I don't know. I can't figure it. I can't make heads and tails of what this is all about. 16. Okay, but that's not the point I want to make. The point I want to make is, he then has pages and pages describing which finger do you use to remove it. So what do you do? Let's take a poll. What do you use?
I don't.
Ooh, he pours. Very good. He doesn't use a finger. He uses the entire yacht.
Yeah, my mother puts her finger.
What finger does she use?
Her pinky.
Oh, pinky thing. Okay. What? Anyone here use a pinky? Pinky.
Gersa.
Etzba. Lakimi. What is the etzba? Not so. Who says the etzba is the point? That's Lashon Chachamim in the Torah. Etzba maybe. So there are basically at least 3 opinions. At least. I have tradition. Gersa the Ankusa the pinky. This is how I've been from childhood. This is what instinctively I do, the pinky. Okay. However, it appears that some have a minug. I've seen this. You pour. You don't put your pinky because it's not minhanimus. You get it dirty. It's dirty. You put your pinky back inside. It doesn't go off well. So you don't put your pinky. You take the cup and you pour it a little bit. You pour a little stickle there, stickle there. What's the other, the next opinion? Etzpa. The index finger. Etzpa Elokim. Anyone use the finger? Because that Etzpa Elokim. Ah, that you use. You use your index finger. Etzpa Elokim. Right? What is the Etzpa in our vernacular? The index finger. And we have in the Pyro set, the Chartum set to Pyro. Pyro? Etzpa Elokim. This is the hand of God, the finger of God doing something. And obviously, I'm sure you can find for me many beautiful drushim on the significance of Etzpa Elokim. So,
it's a visual.
The point. Zekeli v'anveyu.
You're doing something visual.
Visual. Zekeli. Hashem is giving you a message. He's pointing at you. A thing. The index finger. When you do how they do hagbah, when you point, which finger do you use?
You mean?
So zeis ha'Torah. Zeis. So shouldn't you use Zekeli? So what do you use when you do?
I switched to this.
To what? To the pinky.
Yeah.
And what did you do originally?
Probably this.
The index finger. L'chayra, the index finger, right? The point. When Ish Tsar V'yev Hamon Hara Hazeh. When Esther said, which finger did she use?
That might have been a different finger.
I don't know which finger. Which finger did Esther use when she pointed?
Don't ask that question.
By Kriyas, Shivcha Shaloi Roy Cheskel Ben Buzi, Zekeliv Yanveyu. Which finger do they use? I don't know. Okay, but they're different fingers. So we have already two opinions. Either we have already from this audience alone, we have already three. Most of us use the pinky, self-included. Rabbi Mayevsky uses his entire hand, which really is the thumb. I'm going to show you that. If you're using your entire hand, what you're really using is your thumb, because your thumb controls the hand. Okay, the whole hand, which we're going to say is the thumb. You use the index finger. Anyone use the second finger? Anyone use this finger, the zeres? This is when you do a kmitza. When you do kmitza, it's called the zeres. It's the most significant finger for the mincha. On Pesach, the night of Pesach, the second night of Pesach, you do the oimer, sviras oimer, right? So you start sviras oimer. When you do sviras oimer, you dip in three things. The most significant finger is called the zeres. Is the second to last finger. There's a minog. Very strong minhag to use the zeres. I'll show you why. That's probably one of the has the most solid source, is to use the zeres. So we have over here, the only one that gets a raw deal is the middle finger. The middle finger is the only one that I have no makar for. Maybe some will say etzpa elokim means the middle finger. No, they know, in different societies, you know, it's not today in America, you put up your middle finger, it's not a good thing.
It's Jackie
Mason. But you go in other countries, I once saw a whole write-up on this. Other countries, it's not an insulting thing. You use your thumb. It's the ultimate, it's a curse. In America, it means, yeah, good. It means, it's a happy sign. Thumbs down is bad. Facebook, right? Facebook, thumbs up and thumbs down. Middle finger in America is no good, but there are countries where middle finger is a proper expression. It means something nice, something pleasant. Using the thumb is a great insult. It depends on the culture. It could very well be that etzba, if you want to point, who says the index finger is the best finger to point? Maybe the best finger to point with is the middle finger. Because the middle finger is the most prominent. It sticks out the most. Also, the other thing, the middle finger represents your koyach, because it's the arm that represents your entire arm. It's the amma goes from the middle finger until your elbow. It represents your entire koyach, your force, your energy, your strength. Okay, but I did not find the makar for the middle finger. Now, where does it all come from? So there's an incredible medrash, an unbelievable medrash that says, and I don't understand the medrash. Maybe it's a yalkut. So give me half a minute. I'll find you the medrash.
That's not the only one.
Okay, Atofas Hayayin. Okay, here it is. I'm coming there. Okay, this appears in Yalkoit, Parshas Ve'era. It says Yalkoit. Parshas Ve'era, Remes Kuf Pe Gimel. Okay, Kuf Pe Gimel. And the Yalkut says as follows, that the Yalkut, the Mefarshim, are very disturbed because they don't have sources to validate and to prove what it means. But the Yalkut says as follows, when Hashem brought the marble to the world, I'm not sure what he means exactly, when Hashem brought the marble to the world, he used the Zeres, the Tevas Noch, not Etzba Ketana, the Tevas Noch, the Sevas Zeh. And what is it? It says Zen Noach Perigva Pasik Tezel. What do you know by Noach, by the Teva? Hashem said Noach. The word Zeh. Where by the Teva? No, by the Teva. The Teva. The marble. The Teva.
Yeah, I mean, what do you mean? I mean, at the beginning when he says to build it.
What does it say?
Zeh Masay. I'm Zeh Asher Taseh Osa. Shlosh Meilamah.
Zeh Asher Taseh Osa. Okay, Zeh. Hashem pointed. The Yalka that says that Hashem said to Noach, "V'zeh asher taseh osa." Hashem pointed. Which finger did Hashem use to point to the teva that I guess he showed Noach the mareh, a vision of what the teva should look like? V'zeh asher taseh osa. The Yalka says, which finger did Hashem use to point to the teva? The pinky finger. That's what it says in the Yalka. Okay. Next, when Hashem destroyed the Egyptians. Reading you telling from the Yalkut, Hashem destroyed the Egyptians. He brought the Aseres Hamakos. Which finger did Hashem, the Etzba Elokim, he? Which finger did Hashem use to destroy the Egyptians? He used the Zeres. Not, that's called the ring finger? Yeah, that's what women put a ring on?
Yeah.
A ring finger, okay? The ring finger. That's the finger that, but when you give the ring under the chuppah, you don't put it on that finger. You put it on the index finger, and then she takes it off, she puts it on the ring finger. When they ring marriage bands, which finger do they put it on? That finger also? Same finger. The marriage band goes on the left hand on that finger, right? So man and woman in the same thing. So that the Zeres finger, there must be some significance in that, why the ring goes on that finger. But the Zeres finger is the finger that Hashem used to bring all of the makos. Etzba Elokim hi, according to the Yalkut, is not the index finger, it is the Zeres finger. And that is why this is the most solid makar. When you want to remove the 10 makos, and you dip your finger, that Tzachadash Be'achad, Neseres makos, and Dam Eishem Sosham, probably the strongest makar, which finger to use, is not the pinky, and not the index finger, and not the whole hand, but it's to use the Zeres, which almost no one does. Yeah. No one here does that.
The hardest one to do.
Right. No one here does it. I'm sure if you take a poll, you'll find people. Listen, because of, what?
I'm confused about something. And my Noah, which finger?
The pinky finger.
So it's not the Zeres.
I'm sorry, the Kmitza. The Etzba Ketana Zeres. I'm sorry, I'm not saying the Zeres is the pinky, the Kmitza finger. I'm not really saying the right terms. The pinky finger is called the Zeres.
Right.
Span. From pinky to, it's called Zeres, and span means from the pinky to the thumb. The second finger is called the Kmitza finger. I'm sorry, I didn't use the right finger. The ring finger. The ring finger in halacha is called the Kmitza finger. Because it's the first finger which is used in when you do a Kmitza by a mincha.
Okay, so it's a different finger from Noah
to... Noah, right. Hashem changed fingers. When Hashem told Noah, I'm going to bring a marble to the world and I want you to save yourself, I want you, Hashem pointed at the Teva, he used the pinky finger to point at the Teva. When Hashem destroyed the Egyptians and saved Klal Yisrael, he used the Kmitza finger, the ring finger. And therefore, for the purpose of this essay, in this Sefer, Paradis Eliezer, he says that's why the Makar is the proper thing to do, according to those that have this custom, is when you remove the 16 drops of wine from your kois, you shall use your ring finger. Your ring finger, because the ring finger is the Zeres, and according to the Yalkut, it was with this finger that Hashem brought Peronos, punishment, the Aseres HaMakos, to the Egyptians. Very interesting. No. Next. The Yalkut, no, that's the problem. That's the problem, he doesn't say, and that's why he has a whole page over here trying to figure out, it's a Pella, where does it come from? There's no Makar for this. He doesn't know the Makar, he struggles, he's very, very disturbed, what's the Makar for this? So where does it come from? Okay, next finger. The next finger is, now this is amazing, the middle finger. What's the middle finger? Hashem used the middle finger to write the Luchos. The Haluchos, Maase Elokim, HaNichtav, Nichtav Elokim. When Hashem wrote the Luchos, Hashem wrote the Luchos, according to the Yalkut, with the middle finger. There was ink. Well, it was really etched. It was a laser finger. It came out and it made a hollow in the Luchos, the middle finger. What about the index finger? The index finger was Machzis HaShekel. Going forward in time. Zeyitnu. Kol Oiver Al HaPakudim Machzis HaShekel B'Shekel HaKadosh. Chazal say that Moshe Rabbeinu did not know what the Machzis HaShekel looked like. He was disturbed. We don't know what this means. He was disturbed. We have it by the menorah also. But by the Machzis HaShekel, Hashem Shemat Be'ah Shel Eish. Min HaShemayim Zeyitnu. Zeyitnu with the index finger. What about the thumb? Hashem will use the thumb la'asilavo to destroy the enemies. Terom yodcha al tzarecha pasik and micha. Terom yodcha. The yodcha, the thumb, the boyhen is called the yad. The boyhen is synonymous with the entire hand because the boyhen is the control, the power of the yad. That's why the Levim, they cut off their thumbs. By cutting off their thumbs, they're really cutting off their hands. They cut off their thumbs, they cut off their hands, that's really what it means. They took the koyach of the yad is in the thumb. There's no thumb. You find that in Sefer Yoshua. And Sefer Yoshua, What do they do to the kings? Yeshua captured the kings. They cut off his thumbs. The thumb represents cutting off the koyach of the yad.
That's how you hold an object.
With the thumb. The thumb is the koyach of the yad. So the pasuk in Micha, says, "Teroim yadcha Hashem, lift up your hand al tzorecha v'al oivecha yikoresu, may they be cut down." And according to the Yalkub, when it says yadcha, means with the thumb. So let's review an incredible, fascinating. I never heard this before. Yalkut, awesome Yalkut. You can use this to darshan or make drushes for all the parashas of the Torah. You have five fingers. Hashem used the pinky finger to point to Noach. Ze asher tase. This is what the type of teva I want. The kemitza finger was used in Mitzrayim. Etzba elokimhi. The middle finger was used by Hashem to write the luchos. He used the middle finger when he etched out the Aseres Hadibros, the Haluchos Maase Elokim, the Amichtav Michtav Elokim, the Luchos Rishonis Luchos Shneios was done with the middle finger. The index finger was used to point Moshe Rabbeinu Pinyon, when Klal Yisrael needed kapara, l'chapel nafsho seichem, machsa shekel. What's a machsa shekel? What is it? Matbea shalesh, zeyitnu. Hashem used the index finger to point machsa shekel, and the thumb is going to be used l'asalavo to destroy the enemy. So, according to Rabbi Mayevsky, who has the minhag to use the entire hand, you're really using the thumb. L'chayru also makes sense why you use the thumb to pour the whole hand, because we're being mavakesh, Hashem should repeat the ten makos. The ten makos that happened in the past is a blueprint for the future. It should recur once again to bring the ultimate gula, so you use the thumb. Use the thumb to bring out the curse. Or you're going to use the other makar we have is for the is the kemitza thing, because the kemitza thing was the actual finger that Hashem used to destroy the Egyptians. So we are reenacting what Hashem did. What about the pinky? I don't know. Pinky is a little shver. Why the pinky? What about the etzba? Etzba, you'll say, he says, because in our vernacular, etzba means, etzba lakim refers to the first finger, so you use. Okay. It's a very interesting, fascinating. Now, the reason why this caught my attention is I learned this. Okay, very nice. I don't really have anything, any hezber, any deeper understanding of this thing. But today I was davening. This never happened. Middle of davening, middle of laning, someone comes over to me. I don't know why he did this. He never does. He puts in front of me a sitter, an art school sitter, in the back, and he says, read this. Like, what do you want from me? Middle of laning. Why are you telling me to read this? You read this, and it says there, in Ahava Rabbah, he's supposed to take your tzitzis, and he's supposed to collect, v'avienu l'sholom me'arba kanfos haaretz, he's supposed to collect your tzitzis from the four corners of the four tzitzis, and put them in between the zeres and the kemitza.
Yeah.
And he says to me, do you do this? I said, I do, yeah. Do people do this?
Yeah.
I said, yeah, they do. It was okay, I didn't know that. I never saw anyone do this. I didn't know this halacha, I was not aware. Okay, you tell me. That was the whole conversation. Very bizarre, because it's the middle of davening, and this person doesn't normally talk, and I don't know, he's very very excited about this, and he shows me. But to me, it was a little bit shocking to me, because I just finished learning yesterday, last night, preparing for the share, this thing of the five fingers, and now comes this thing of taking the tzitzis, and where do you put the tzitzis? You put the tzitzis between these two fingers. So there must be something very significant about that. Now, we have to delve into what is. I leave it for you. We're not going to. But the marble. There are two major salvations in this world. There was the salvation that we were saved from the marble. Hashem saved Noach, Shem, Ham, and Yefes from the marble, the Chub of the world, and we were saved from physical. There's physical salvation and spiritual salvation. The physical salvation was from the marble, right? If Hashem didn't save us physically, we would have been perished. And spiritually, we were saved from the Tumas Mitzrayim. Correct? The spiritual, the Erev HaSaretz. If Hashem would have not taken us out, we would still be today descendants living somewhere in Egypt, slaves to the Egyptians. Whatever it would be. But we would, the spiritual salvation. You put the tzitzis, the tzitzis have something to do with both the salvations. There's something there. It has to be developed more. But now, this will give you an illustration. And now that you have this amazing Yalkut that tells you these five events that happened in the world with the five different fingers, and there's a hakpada now to put the tzitzis. I never thought about it. Why tuck it between those two fingers? Hold it in your thumb. There's something there. what's there, I don't know exactly, but opens up at least a whole new avenue of understanding what this is about. Yeah.
Let me flip it a little bit. The little finger is not just, it can also be viewed as the power of punishment and destruction. Why? Because Hashem shows that even in his, you know how the expression is, I got more whatever in my little finger than you have in your whole hand, that I can use my weakest area.
It's just a tiba shabam, it's only the smallest amount of
whatever. In this statement. That shows power by with a minimum of I can wipe you all out.
Okay, very good, very interesting, excellent. Okay, so this is one idea about 16 times you remove liquid yain from the cup of wine, and the different fingers, different minhagim, and what these fingers represent, and how they tie in. What?
There's that minhag.
Well, that's what he was saying when you hold it close and pour it out.
So there are different, just something to keep in mind and to develop on your own. Don't be afraid to say drush. Ein mashiv na hadrush. You could say whatever you want. No one, if it works for you, it works. It has meaning. Ein mashiv na hadrush. Okay, let me go to another idea. I have two more ideas I want to present. First, next idea is there's something called the minug of Su'udas Esther. Sudas Esther bePesach. We know that the miracle of Purim occurred on the second day of Pesach. They fasted 3 days. The fasting took place on the 13th, 14th, and 15th. Tzumo la ga'altoch v'altishu shloisha sim layla v'yom. Gam ani v'nara say otzum kein. V'chol ha'nocha sholei chados. They fasted for 3 days. The 13th, the 14th, and the 15th. There was no Seder that year in Shushan HaBira. It's in Balz. They had Pesach Sheni. They had the second day of Pesach. They had a Seder L'Chora, I'm assuming, but there was no Seder the first night of Pesach, because the entire Klal Yisrael was fasting because of the sakana of the sakana of Haman. And then Esther went to Achashverosh on the second night of Pesach. It was when the Mishteh. And it was at that party where she told that she was mevakesh ami umeladati. She was mevakesh. What's the pasuk? Tinasim li nafshi b'shelasi v'ami bevakoshasi ki nimkarnu ani v'ami lahashvila v'gulhabeit. And then Achashverosh v'ilu l'avodim l'shvichos nimkarnu v'echadashti ki eina tzashoyve b'nezek hamelch or b'nezek hamelch. Is it b'nezek two different gisois? B'nezek nezek hamelch. And then what did Achashverosh say? Mihu zev yezu Hashem b'lo l'go lasas kein? And Esther says, ish tzar v'yev hamon horo hazeh v'hamon v'as. Of the Emel Hamalka, he fell on Esther. Gam lichlois Hamalka nima boyis. Achashverosh was enraged. Take him, kill him, hang him up on the gallows that he prepared for Mordechai. All of this took place on the second day of Pesach. The Suda, where she made this declaration, took place on the second night of Pesach, and Haman was hung the following morning on the second day of Pesach. Therefore, there's a Minog Yisrael, and this is cited in many Svarim, that in the Chassam Sofer had this meaning, that you should have a special dish, an extra special dish on the second day of Purim to commemorate the miracle of Purim on Pesach. The mingling of the holidays. The event took place on Pesach, right? You can't deny that. It's fairish. Took place on Pesach. And I have a special dish. It's all different types of traditions. Meat, hard meat. And I don't know what it's all about. Hard meat. Yeah, that's what it says. Basically, hard tongue. And the Chassam Sofer had hard. There's something such a thing called hard tongue. Hardened tongue.
If you want to dry it out, you could deal with it. Hot salami on it, like you said.
Okay, I don't know. I never heard of this. It seems there's something about Basar Yavesh. I don't know what it's all about. There must be some significance. It brings that over here. V'chein kasa b'sefer mekor chayim sim tov samach medaktikim oichlim medaktikim oichlim medaktikim oichlim b'boiker yom sheni shol pesach basar yavesh. Dry meat, chati charui l'schabit, a big, which is called, and they call it haman. And the meat is called Haman to commemorate the miracle of what happened.
The meat is the beginning of Delhi.
The Chassam Sofer, V'yesh, the Chassam Sofer also had this minuk. V'yesh, the Hagim, B'yol Hosef, Eze Machel Toi, B'sudu V'koin L'zeh, Sudas Esther. Okay, B'yol, now there's a remes to this, a very nice remes. In the Haftorah of the first day of Pesach, the first day of Pesach, what does it say in the first that we read from, one of the few times that we read from Yehoshua, if I'm not mistaken, is that correct? We read from Yehoshua the first day of Pesach? So that's from Yehoshua.
There is another time.
There are three times. Shlach, and Simchas Torah. Right. You only learn from Yehoshua three times. People, it's a very big expense to buy a Sefer Yehoshua. Clock, you're only going to learn from it three times a year. Yeshaya, you get your money's worth.
Yeah.
But you're not going to get your money's worth when you buy Yehoshua only three times a year. But one of the three times is the first day Pesach. And what does it say on the first day Pesach? It talks about, incidentally, about the mon, the lechem in hashamayim. Vayishbois hamon mimocharos. The mon came to an end on the following day. This was 30 days after they left Mitzrayim. The 30 days after them, so they came into Eretz Yisrael. Mimocharos. You have to know the context of the pasuk. I don't remember the context of the pasuk. I have to go look it up. Vayishbois, but the pasuk there says, Vayishbois hamon mimocharos. The mon, the lechem in hashamayim, that they were eating for 40 years, came to an end at this point in time when they crossed over the Yarden. They came into the Yarden, and now they're coming into Eretz Yisrael. Fend for yourselves. Go plant the field, go plant the land, go to work, go to the farm, go get to work and plant. So the mon, so the Mefarshim, the Darshanim say the word Haman is Haman. When did Haman cease to exist? When was Haman Shoyves? Did he rest in peace? Did he come to end? Mimocharos, tomorrow, on the second day of Pesach. So on the first day of Pesach, you're reading that Vayishbois Haman Mimocharos. By tomorrow morning, Haman Harasha, Haman will be Shoyves, the Kitroig, will be gone tomorrow. He will no longer exist tomorrow. A beautiful remez in the Haftorah itself on the first day of Pesach. What's going to be the next day of Pesach? To have a special dish on the second day of Pesach to commemorate the miracle of Purim. Now, why am I telling this to you? Because I saw this most incredible vart from Rabbi Wolfson. I don't think it's his vart. He develops it at length. I think he's quoting from someone, if I'm not mistaken. I do not remember who he's quoting from, so please forgive me. Ha'im Adav, Shema Mevigul Yolam, it's in a sefer on Ibn HaSitech, on the Mo'adim, the three-volume set on the Mo'adim. He has a whole section, Sudas Esther, and he explains why did it happen that the miracle occurred on Pesach. So he looks into the middle. He's quoting all these quoting sources for this idea. When was the Gzera? The Gzera says the Megillah exactly when Haman he cast lots. I forgot what it says. Whatever it was, he cast lots, and the Gzera was on Yud Dalet Adar was the day meant to. Yud Dalet Adar was the day when the Gzera would be carried out. When did he cast the lots? It says in the pasuk explicitly when he cast the lots, the Chodesh, whatever it says. But immediately after he cast the lots to determine when he should execute the Gzera, Mordechai tells Esther, go to Achashverosh. What was it?
The Shiv and the Esrim Bo.
27th of Adar. Of Adar?
Month. I just come, but...
Okay, I think it was Adar. It was a year, it was almost a year in advance. On the 27th day of Adar, he already went and he planned ahead to go cast the what's going to be the following Adar. So what is right away they found out about the Gzera. They sent letters. Mordechai finds out. He tells us, Esther, run! Run to Achashverosh and tell Achashverosh to annul, to do something about it. So what does Esther say? Mordechai, I can't. I don't have permission. I'm only allowed to go to the king when the king invites me. For the last 30 days, he didn't invite me to come. I don't have an audience with Achashverosh. I'm sorry, you have to wait. And basically she said to him, What's the emergency? It's only Chodesh Nisan. And the Gezerah is planned for Chodesh Adar. It's 11 months.
What's the rush?
Eventually, it's going to happen. He's going to invite me to some party. I'll have an audience with my husband, with the King Achashosh. And that meaning, I'll speak to him and I'll tell him, you know, we got a problem. And I'll be Mavakesh Rachamim. But right now, if I go uninvited to the palace, into the chamber of the king, I'm risking my life, and then you'll have nothing. You'll have nothing. I have not been called. So what's the rush? So what does Mordechai say to Esther? Im hachareish tachareish sheboes hazois revach v'atzolo yamo la'yehudu mimokom acher v'yat v'beis avicha toivedu. So simply that means, like we learned parashas, that if you're not going to go right now, don't worry, Hashem will save us and you'll be finished. The harbeish shluchim lamokom. You want to survive yourself. If you want, you take the initiative. You go right now. Don't worry about the fact that you've not been called for 30 days and you're being most nevish. Don't worry, everything will be okay. You go right now. That's thing you can learn the pasuk very simply. But Rav Wolfson says something much deeper. He says, when this thing unfolded, it was 3 days before Pesach. And what Mordechai was telling, that's the story. Esther responds and says, okay, I'm going to go. But before I go, it seems took place on the 12th day of Nisan, it seems. This conversation...
So this is weeks after...
Weeks after the Gzera was announced. The Gzera was announced, a few days after the Gzera was announced, the announcement was that in 11 and a half months, the Gzera will be executed, will be put into motion. On the 14th day of Adar, in 11 months from now, all the Jews are going to be killed. There's going to be an extermination of the Jews. So this took place in the beginning of Nisan. Then it appears that Mordechai had a conversation with Esther on the 12th day of Nisan. What's today? Today's almost the 12th day of Nisan, right? On the 12th day of Nisan, told her, go to Achashverosh right away. Esther says, no, maybe, okay, I'm going to go, but before I go, I want you to fast. Klal Yisrael must do tshuva. They sent out an email to the whole Klal Yisrael, 3-day fast day. 13, 14, 15, no eating, no drinking, 3 days, whatever that means, 3 days. And then on day 16, and that the night of the 16th, Esther goes to Achashverosh, to the banquet, and Ami nafshi b'shelosi v'ami b'vakoshosi, and so on and so forth. 3 days. What was Mordechai telling Esther? He was telling her on the 12th day of Nisan, I want you to go on Pesach, to Achashverosh and beg for Klal Yisrael. What does Esther say? Pesach. I don't want to go on Pesach. I'll go by Shavuos. I'll go already. By Tisha B'Av, I'll go by Rosh Hashanah, by Sukkot, because I can't go. I'm not invited. I was not invited.
What's the problem? The problem is, she was the one who suggested the
Gzeira
on the 13th. The fasting, and he was the one who initially objected to it.
He told her on the 12th day, I want you to go. So we're making an assumption, a very great assumption, that when Mordechai told her to go, he didn't mean to go at this very, very moment. He meant to go on Pesach. Because since it's the 12th day of Nisan, and Pesach is right around the corner, so exactly, but now is an opportune time. Now is the Yom Tov. Exactly. Since now is the 12th day of Nisan, and 3 days from now is going to be Pesach. It's a zman, a good mazel for Klal Yisrael. I want you to go to Achashverosh on Pesach and be mevakesh rachamim. Esther says, I understand your request. It's tak a good zman. Pesach is a very good time. It's Lel Shem. It's a good zman for Klal Yisrael. But I don't know if it's a good idea because I have not been called to go to the king for 30 days. And if I go walk into the palace uninvited, even though I'm the queen, I will be executed on the spot.
Did she go on Chol HaMoed?
No, she went...
To the 14th, 15th,
and 16th? It's right, so there's a first day Chol HaMoed, you're right, but it's Pesach. It's still the Yom Tov Pesach. Okay. It's still the Yom Tov Pesach in Hanani. They fasted on Pesach, which is even the greatest chus for Klal Yisrael. They fasted Namish on Pesach in preparation for what you do Mitzvah from the first day Chol HaMoed. Correct. And when they brought the Omer, the first day Chol HaMoed is also very significant. It's the day that you bring the Omer, but it's a Zman Mesugl. The whole week is a holy time. So Esther says, no, I'm not going to go. I understand your request. It's a very good zman to go, but I can't go because I'm not invited. So the other good zmanim, the other bilag, but Oimer is a good time to go. I can go on Shavuos, I can go on Sukkot. There are other good zmanim to go. Why do you want me to go now? So Mordechai says, im hacharesh tacharishi bo eis hazos, if you delay going eis hazos, Pesach, mazos. But we know so you make a little Jewish. The Russian says, the Tam says, who says that? The Tam, Mazos. There's the Zos Chukas HaPesach, called Benecha Lo Yochal Bo. There's a lot of Zoses that are connected with Pesach. If you don't want to go Zos, you don't want to go Pesach, then I'll, you know something, you're right, Esther. Revach V'Atzola Yamod La'Yehudim Mimokom Acher. You know, you're right. But if you'll go on Lag Bo'Omer, you'll go Shavuot, I have no doubt in my mind that you'll be matzliach. You will succeed and you will save Klal Yisrael. But you should know it's not going to be the same salvation. It's a little bit of a drush. The salvation will not be to the same degree. Ultimately, in the very end, it will be a temporary salvation. At uveis avich toveidu. Eventually, it will be a stay. Good, he'll delay it for 10 years, another 10 years, 20 years, but eventually, there'll be another big tzara. It won't be a geula nitzches. That's the word he uses. It won't be an everlasting salvation. If you want there to be a Yeshua salvation, that's netzach. Kimaral talk. That's nitzches. What?
Yes, but that doesn't apply to the Purim situation. It's not nitzches.
What do you mean? Akati adi achashver shanan. Akati.
Yeah, you got
Akati,
but from under the immediate problem.
But we got out. No, but it was. But Haman was destroyed. Haman was destroyed, and Klal Yisrael were free, and it set the stage to build the Bayis Sheni. It was to a greater degree. It was a permanent salvation. You can't say not. It wasn't the Mashiach. The point is, this is the Joshua. This is the significance that Wolfson's bringing out. He brings it out is that what is Pesach? Pesach, this is the purpose of the Sudas Esther is you should hit home on your hit home. Don't seize the moment. You have an opportunity. The Yom Tov Pesach is here. It is a zman that is in the sugal for geula shleima.
Right.
You can say this, you know, I'm tired. Pesach cleaning. I have a lot of problems at work. A lot of different issues. I'm not really in the mood. I'll table it for now. I'll get back into the mood Shavuos. I'll work on it. I'm not going to ignore the things that I need to do, rectify in my life. I'll take care of at a later point in time. You're right. There's no question. Revach v'atzola yamod la'yehudim imokom acher. But you should know if you don't seize the moment when it's good, when it's a time that's a zman that's misugul, it's not going to have the same effect. Esther, if you'll go now, you'll accomplish a salvation that's nitzches, that's forever. It'll be permanent. It'll be a permanent solution to the problems. Netzach is permanent, forever. Yeah?
Right.
Just like Yitzias Mitzrayim was a permanent, was a spiritual salvation that was nitzches. Take advantage of the time, bo eis hazos. If you're not going to go now, no. You have 11 months. 11 months, a lot of things can happen and will happen. But it won't be the same. That is the deeper meaning of the Sudas Esther. The Sudas Esther is, it's a reminder, seize the moment. Like Rabbi Fran Taib of Musach. Seize the moment.
At the same time with Haman as it would be with the Yam Suf, the destruction of the Mitzrayim, it would be equated to the killing of Haman. Just like you have the salvation, you know, the day before when they went out of Mitzrayim. I mean, I'm trying to equate it.
Yes, there are different types of salvations. That is the point, is Bo'ez Hazos. That's the Musar Haskel to take out of the Suda of Esther, yeah.
I mean, the Lashon of the Pesach in Megillah seems to go in a little bit different direction. He's telling her, this is your moment. You
correct.
Now, you won't be around.
That's the simple interpretation. That's the Pshuta Shal Mikra. Rabbi Wolfson is darshing the pasuk a little bit more liberal, a little bit more revach. You will be around, and you'll succeed. That's how he's interpreting the pasuk. If you don't want to go on Pesach,
a miracle come through
somewhere. No, but that's the pasuk shop. But he's saying even deeper. He's saying you'll also do it.
No.
Hachareish tacharishi bo is hazos.
Saying what he said, yeah. But it should be, it's not that simple. Even simply translated is you're not part, you won't be part of the miracle.
No, right? That's not the word lotion of possible.
All right.
In hachareish.
No, but that's later.
Not today.
Not today.
50 years from now.
When is
50 years from now.
This minute.
From a different day. Acher means now you have Pesach, the Segula, the Yom of Pesach. Everything about Pesach is working in your favor. If you're not going to take advantage of the end of a Pesach, which is the Geula Shem of Klal Yisrael, and you're going to wait for a Makom Acher, another source of Kedusha, you'll succeed, but it's not going to be the same. The end will be in 50, 100 years, there's going to be a Chorben Nochamo. Seize the moment. That's the Sudas Esther. Okay, there are more things I want to say left for tomorrow. Because
right.
We're out of time.